This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums, and with me in the Furman Garner Performance Studio is Jody Beznoska. She's the Vice President for Communications at Walton Arts Center. Jody.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We have a couple of guests with us we'll get to in just a moment.
Yes, we do.
But you have literally a long list.
I have a very, very long list of what's coming up at Walton Arts Center in the next week. As I was making it, I realized that starting tonight, Thursday, we have events for 10 days straight, sometimes three or four a night. So no excuses. There's plenty for everybody to do coming up in the next week. So let's just dive right in with this evening, Thursday. Actually, all day today, we will be having the semifinals of the Fulbright Concerto Competition in Star Theater at Walton Arts Center. These are young pianists who have come from all over the world and are competing in this competition. And they'll be playing pretty much on the hour. They'll be being judged by a panel. And anyone is able to come in and watch one of these concerts, but you do have to come in on the hour and make sure that you're adhering to the right time. So you can call the box office at 443-5600 for information about that. And then tonight at St. Paul's in Fayetteville, we will have a concert by the Old City String Quartet. These are four young musicians who graduated from the Curtis Music School, and they are the principal players in our new Artisphere Festival Orchestra. They've been playing together for years, and they will play at 7 p.m. tonight. Beautiful, small, intimate concert with what I've heard is some absolutely fantastic music, a Mozart and a Ravel. And then tomorrow, Friday, we will have more semifinals of the Fulbright Concerto Competition all day long. And then at 6 p.m. in the Rose Garden, weather permitting, we will have Ozark Couture, which is an outdoor fashion show focused on repurposing materials in the artisphere and recycling and sustainable spirit. We will have musicians from the festival orchestra playing there. And if it rains, we'll move inside. So the event goes on, rain or shine. That's Friday night, and that begins at 6 p.m.
And the poetry vests that were at Trail Mix, those will be there as well?
We will have more of those, okay. Yep. Those will be all over the place. This is going to be a really multifaceted event. There'll be music, there'll be fashion, there'll be poetry, there'll be food, there'll be beverages. We'll have the whole thing. It's going to be quite fun. But yes, if you were out on the trail and you saw those vests, they will culminate in something at the Ozark Couture event. So that's Friday night. Then Saturday night, we have the Artisphere Festival Orchestra playing their second concert. They played absolutely fantastic concert on Tuesday of works sort of exploring the American landscape, and this next concert will explore Italian landscapes and Italian music and some great pieces. We will have a Van Cliburn bronze medalist pianist there by the name of Benedetto Lupo, and he will be playing Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini with Rachmaninoff piece. So, among others, Verdi, Rota, and others, it's going to be fantastic. I cannot stress enough just how amazing this orchestra is. It's a sound that I've never heard before in terms of classical music. It's just wonderful. So, that concert is at 8 p.m. on the 21st, totally free. So you do need a ticket to get in, but it is free of charge, and we can talk more about that okay. towards the end. Then on Sunday, we will have the Fulbright Concerto Competition finals.
So three finalists out of the 12 semifinalists will be in front of the
That's
AFO.
Correct. They'll right. be playing with the AFO behind them, which is going to be wonderful. They'll all be, they'll be being judged again. The audience will be able to get involved and help choose an audience favorite. And that's at 5 p.m. on the 22nd. Then Monday, the 23rd, we switch gears a little bit and we move from classical music to photography. We have Annie Griffiths, who is a National Geographic photographer, probably one of the most famous female photographers around
in the world.
And she will do a presentation with a Q&A and a book signing. That all begins at 7 p.m. That's on Monday. Then on Tuesday, we begin the last part of our Nature of Strings series. This is the series where we bring small ensembles into interesting chapels and spaces throughout the region. And this begins with Frank Vignola and the Virtuoso Band. Now, Frank Vignola might be conceived as jazz.
And he was here not too long
ago. Yes, he was.
He was great.
He was fantastic. But what's going to be really fun about this band is that it's the fusion. It's a classical jazz fusion. And so classical music lovers will really appreciate the artistry of the classical music. But those of us who know Frank Vignola and love the jazz will see that as well. So he will perform at Belle Gable Chapel at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. He will also perform at Thorn Crown in Eureka Springs at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. And he will also perform at Crystal Bridges Museum out on the Sculpture Trail at 7 p.m. on the 26th.
Those intimate concerts, $5 each.
But that's correct.
Small venues.
Small venues, so reserving tickets ahead of time is a good idea. And for those of you who are not into classical music, on the 25th and the 26th, we do have performances by the Blue Collar comedy comedian Ron White. Mm-hmm. There is one at 7 p.m. on the 25th, and there are two on the 26th, one at 7 p.m. and one at 9:30.
And this is a makeup from weather-related postponement.
He was supposed to be here in February, and the snowstorm had other ideas. Right. So happily, we were able to move him to this time, and you know, obviously, we will not have any snow, which is really good. And we will also, on the 26th, be working on a show out at the Amp. The band Perry will be out at the Amp at 7:30 on the 26th. And then I just flipped my page and people are laughing at me. And then on the 27th, which is a Saturday, I believe, we have the culmination of our Grow a Film Festival with Seedlings Film Association. That's at 6:30. Primus will be at the Amp at 7:30. And then on the 28th, that is a Saturday. I think I got my dates right now. On the 28th, a Saturday, we have three performances by a company called TPO. It's a children's theater company, and this is called Kinder. Kinder is the Icelandic word for sheep. And if anybody came to see the Butterfly Show last year with TPO, it's a similar thing where there's it's an interactive theater piece. It's in a very small space, and the children in the audience get to become a part of the experience. And so they can walk on this sort of electric carpet that lights up as they walk on, and all the children and all the audience will basically experience how sheep, of all things, in Iceland, when they migrate across the country, they basically experience all four seasons in their extreme as part of this sort of concentrated ecosystem in Iceland. And I think I should probably stop there. I think that's enough.
Information about any of
about any of this is all available at waltonartcenter.org, or you can call 443-5600, or you can just come down to the box office and see us.
If it's an Artisphere-related event, you can also go to artisphere.festival.org.
That is correct, yes.
Speaking of Artisphere, there is the Artisphere Festival Orchestra.
Yes.
And we're going to take just a brief musical interlude, then we're going to come back and meet a couple of members of
the orchestra. Yeah.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me again in the Furman Garner Performance Studio is Jody Beznoska. And Jody, we have a pair of musicians that are performing inside or are part of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra with us.
Yeah, we're so delighted that they're here. I got the pleasure of hearing these guys play as part of the concert on Tuesday, and I wish I could explain to everybody just what a great concert it was and how sublime these guys are. I mean, they are so talented and they are so nice and so friendly, and we're just delighted that they're here. And we wanted to get some wanted to hear from you guys about what it's like coming to Arkansas and some of the pieces you're going to play on Saturday.
I should introduce Mika Godbole.
Yes, absolutely.
Percussion. right?
Yes.
So we've now had two-thirds of the AFO percussion inside the studio. And Ed Paulson?
Yep, bass, yeah.
Did you two know each other before the AFO formed?
No.
Unfortunately, no.
No, actually, no.
So what is it like when you and 79 other world-class musicians come together and you have a few days to get ready?
Well, it's the musical world is small, as you know. So there were a lot of people that I think we all knew, a lot of us had known previously or that we had heard of. And so an opportunity like this is a great chance for us to all get together and, you know, make music, you know, in a short amount of time. But it really comes together really, really quickly with musicians like this, too. So.
Yeah, and actually we're all quite social people, which helps. And I think once you make music with someone, you're like friends for life. It's kind of a done deal. So it's been, you know, first concert, you know, 2 days later, 3 days later, it's been quite a bonding experience, if you know what I mean, you know.
Well, you land, you know, you have 78 people, musicians coming from out of town, because there are a few folks locally. And then you get together, and then that first rehearsal is within how many days or hours of your landing?
Well, the first rehearsal was on Sunday evening. Sunday afternoon, and then the concert was, Tuesday night. So really it was, you know, Sunday, and then Tuesday was just dress rehearsal and concert. So if you figure, you know, the concert's around an hour and a half to 2 hours, like that's, you know, it's not an unusual amount of time in the profession, but if you've never played with the musicians before, it's really kind of a fantastic thing. So I remember the first notes of the first rehearsal were really pretty thrilling because you all have an expectation, but you don't know what it's going to be like. And when everyone is so motivated and really so committed, not only to like an accurate performance, but like one that's very, you know, really collaborative and musical. I think we were all surprised, and the audience, I think, actually responded in kind at the show, where they were, you know, because it was just the energy level was so high, you know. And I said to one of the audience members afterwards that it's sort of like a self-feeding thing, that, you know, if people are playing very passionately around you, that you can't help but be pulled into that gravity. And I think that everybody really responded.
Yeah, they absolutely did. I was sitting in the balcony, and the buzz around me. I mean, people were leaning forward with their elbows on their knees, like focused in on whatever particular thing they were watching, and they all just vaulted to their feet when it was over. It was amazing.
Tuesday night's concert will never be done again.
No, that was. Yeah, we're done with that one. We're on to the next one already.
Does that ephemeral quality not bother you? I mean, you get together and you have this...
Well, I think the energy was so like a one-time thing. It's a unique experience and we want to keep it that way. If we were to do that concert again, I think it would be just as amazing. But I think with just 1 week to cover so much ground, we want to, you know, it's like having like a buffet and you just want to try a little bit of everything and see what happens. And with the Italian music coming up, and then we've got the concerti, you know, I think it's going to be, we just want to get out there and try new things with everyone, so.
The Sunday night concert, which is the three finalists from the Fulbright Concerto competition, starts at 5. You'll have three different finalists, each doing a different concerto of their choosing. So that means you might not even, Friday night, the finalists are announced, right?
That's correct, yes.
Is that when? We don't know when.
I was going to say, we actually don't know any of the pieces at this time that we're going to play.
So you'll get those on Saturday, probably?
Probably. Wow. I mean, I'm assuming that they're repertoire pieces. Surely they're like very typical, you know, competition pieces that likely we've either seen or heard before. And so that's a really nice thing about the programming here, too, that the maestro has put together, that there's a lot of masterworks that people would, you know, it's imperative for people to hear, especially like we're saying, in such a committed and excellent performance. So the Dvorak Symphony or, you know, certainly like things that people will recognize, like the Barber of Seville coming up and the Italian music, but as well as like, you know, the Rota, which you don't hear so much, that's coming up this weekend, or from previous night, Daniel Schneider's music, you know, so stuff that's, you know, newer to audiences and newer to performances or performers, as well as, you know, real masterworks. So I'm assuming the piano program will be, you know, some really wonderful, wonderful pieces.
Mm-hmm. Are you a musician, Jody?
No, I was I was a singer a long time ago,
So forgive me, this is a question that a non-musician would ask, but this is what professional musicians do. I mean, you land and you, as a collaborative group, can in 48 hours pick up and make amazing music? Or is this a little bit different?
is and it's not. I think if you think of like a professional sports team, you know, you show up for camp and you just have to kind of learn to work together. We've all done this before and everybody's kind of on the same page. So, and nobody had any expectations, like you said. So, yes, it is the usual, business as usual, but it's unusual in the fact that none of us have ever been to Arkansas. None of us were expecting to be in such a, I guess, a supportive environment where everyone is here for us and so happy to see us that we're just sort of feeding off of the energy of the community and the energy of the staff that's working here. They're also happy to have us that we're just sort of like, okay, let's do this. I don't have to worry about anything. And there's that bit of like band camp, summer camp feeling where you're away from reality. You're not really thinking about the stuff I have to do at home. I have to do this. I have to drive here. We're being carted everywhere. We're being fed. It's like we're, you know, it's
really ideal.
You're
right.
Yeah,
for an artist, I mean, it's really ideal, and it has been wonderful in that way. It's true.
I think what's telling, though, is when we hear about, when we as the staff are hearing about their first rehearsal, one of the things we heard is that every single one of those musicians knew the music that they were coming in to play. So it wasn't like any of them had to learn it on the ground. They had to learn the nuances of the maestro and what he wanted, and they had to learn to play together, and they had to listen and do all those things that they do so well. But they all came in, they knew the program, and they were ready to go and ready to take it to the next level. And I think that's what professional musicians do, you know, is they have done their homework, and then they get to kind of shape it and paint it and make it sound the way they want. Is that right, guys?
Yeah, that's a great analogy, actually. Perfect. Yeah.
Sometimes I tell people it's sort of like a professional dancer, and that, you know, you've danced with a lot of groups or a lot of individuals, and you've had dance partners. And so imagine being given a new dance partner. You both know essentially what you're going to be doing, but you don't know the ins and outs of each other exactly yet. Mm-hmm. You kind of learn, you know, is this person a little taller than I'm used to, a little different, and you get used to that. But you mold into it pretty quickly. That's part of the skill set.
Yeah.
So,
what's it like up at Mount Sequoia when you get 78 or 80 musicians, many of whom haven't known each other, some who have? Do you talk? Is it a situation where you talk a lot about music, or the last thing you want to do after rehearsals and performances is talk about music?
You feel that way?
I think it's a little bit of both. The first day, I think everyone was talking about music and how we were all connected and who, you know, mutual friends and stuff like that. But, you know, as I've discovered, Ed here is a walking, talking encyclopedia on a lot of things. So we've talked about all subjects, including he brews his own beer. Didn't know that. How cool is that? So, you know, you learn these things about people and their other sides and their hobbies. And that's when the real connections begin, not just playing, but, oh, you do this? Oh, how cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, making those connections, like, you know, that people you've heard of or, you know, that you know, like Mika said, you know, you'll be friends forever after a week like this, you know? So, it's gone so quickly, like we said. I mean, Sunday was the first rehearsal. Tuesday was the first concert. We've had very packed days. Mm-hmm. Mount Sequoia has been, I think, you know, as it would have promised, has been just wonderfully peaceful and, like, wonderfully accommodating. And it's, you know, it's central enough that it's very convenient, but at the same time, you feel like you're in a totally another world when you're up there. Mm-hmm. So that's been really wonderful. But I don't know. I mean, as far as geeking out on music, maybe within our sections a little bit, you know, it's fun to see new colleagues. So, you know, in the bass section, you know, I want to look down the line and see what fingerings people are using and check out like all that type of stuff, you know, it's because those are for those of us who have, you know, resident positions. You know, you see the same people day in and day out, and it's wonderful, but it's so fun. And maybe another thing that's invigorating about this group of musicians being from all over, it's like, you know, we don't know. People have new ways of doing things, new ways of thinking about things, as well as the maestro, but even within the sections, you know. So that's been really inspiring, too.
We have a chance Saturday night at 8.
That's correct.
And Sunday at 5.
Sunday at 5. And then they go away, and we're going to be very sad when they go away. But we're going to... I think we're going to remember this for quite some time, and I think that it's going to leave a mark on people. So
in
a very good way.
And I think we're all hoping it sets a precedent for, you know, for this and for this region. And I think we'd all love to be involved with this in the future. It's been wonderful.
And I hope the people in the community, you know, run with this, because I'm sure there are kids who want to play, and I hope I mean, we had some, the yellow post-it notes, by the way. I hope more people fill those out. Those were fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know whose idea that was, but that was one of the best things.
Tell us about the yellow post-it notes.
This is part of those listeners who remember the 10 by 10 art series that we introduced this past year. The yellow post-it notes, the simplest idea, and we actually stole it from Broadway. It was an idea that a Broadway show did a couple years back.
Borrowed.
Yes. Strategically borrowed yes. from Broadway, right? Well, we introduced it as a way to try to break down this barrier of, you know, I must sit quietly in my seat and watch the show and never have any interaction with it. And it's hard when you're in a theater like ours because it's big. You're meant to sit there. You know, you're not able to jump up on stage and join these guys. But so the yellow post-it notes are on the front of everybody's program. And at the end of the show, people can write what they heard, what they thought, what they feel, and they stick them up on the windows, and you get to walk around and look at them. And it is the simplest concept, but it's so powerful because you get everybody saying the things they think and the opinions are different. You get really rapturous, oh my gosh, this was the best thing ever, too. I liked this, but this would have been better. I think my favorite one that I heard from the concert on Tuesday was, it was so good, I lost my phone.
That's awesome.
That one made me laugh. But it's wonderful. And then we put them backstage so the musicians can see them as well.
You read them.
Yeah. I mean, there were some great comments from kids and young and old alike, and it, you know, to feel appreciated. I mean, we play in cities that people are not used to music, but we don't get that same fiery, you know, like somebody applauded in the middle of a movement. I love that. I love it. You like it? Show us you like it, because we feed off of that. We're not there just for ourselves anyway. So it's fantastic to get to see the comments afterwards. Love it. Absolutely love it. And thank you to the community for doing that.
Micah Godbole, percussion, and Ed Paulson, bass, are two members of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra. They were in the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier today. The orchestra will perform a program of Italian music Saturday night at 8, and then will also perform with the three finalists of the Fulbright Concerto competition Sunday night, beginning at 5. Both of those concerts are inside Baum Walker Auditorium at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Both are free, though tickets are required. More information available at waltonartcenter.org or artisphere festival.org. Jody Beznoska, the Vice President for Communications at Walton Arts Center, was also inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio with us this morning. The musical interlude we heard in between the segments, by the way, was a piece from Tuesday night's performance of Dvorak as performed by the Artisphere Festival Orchestra at Walton Arts Center.